I've always been interested in furniture and furnishings and the way that we use them within our home. And this is a very excessive kind of domestic space. It's a kitchen that's been adorned completely with floral emblems that have been printed on using a potato printing kind of method, using pumpkins. And every element within this kitchen moves, which is the creaking and groaning sounds we can hear in the background. So the chairs tilt, the table slides across the floor, cupboards slam, the walls sway backwards and forwards, all in a very slow kind of choreographed routine.
You're mentioning the pumpkin prints, which are when you cut from the actual piece of vegetable and then dip it in to a paint and then stamp it on the wall. Is that right?
That's exactly right, yeah. There was butternut pumpkins that we just cut out into the different floral emblems that we wanted to print on and then just printed it on with house paint. It took about a week and a half to get all of the printing onto the walls, the floor, the furniture, all of the other elements.
What era are you looking at here and why choose that specific era?
It's a very nostalgic interior. It's very much kind of 60s, 70s, the kind of furniture that was popular in that era. Lots of kind of chrome and laminex. The kind of furniture that's probably familiar to just about everyone, probably from their grandparents' era, that is having a bit of a resurgence, I think. And there was something just about that era, kind of nostalgia for that era. Not that I personally want to go back to the 60s and the 70s, but it sits in a really nice contrast to contemporary interior design. And it's really that familiarity, I think, that draws me to it the most.
What about the choice of the kitchen rather than any other room in the house? I mean, the kitchen is usually the centre of the house, isn't it? It's where the food is prepared, it's where we are nourished.
It is. It's a place where the family comes together, and I think that's an important reason for choosing it in this particular situation. I have worked with other rooms in the past. I've built a large bathroom a number of years ago that flooded from every possible outlet. So I guess maybe I'm slowly working my way through the house.
You've got the tap running continually. Is that any sort of statement about the fact that we live in South Australia and water is a precious resource, or what is it representing to you?
Well, I think it brings up those kinds of ideas. It's unavoidable when you see a tap running. I think one of my aims was to try and get a degree of anxiety around every element in this house. And I think there's nothing like a running tap to make us anxious these days.
And I think also when you're saying there's something comforting about this particular era, the era when we were perhaps younger and life was a bit simpler than it is today, but it's not comforting at all because, as you said, everything is awry and askew, and it's almost like there is some poltergeist going crazy in this kitchen.
There is a little bit of a sense that there's a ghost kind of living within this space. Starting with something that is kind of comforting within our minds adds quite a bit of strength to the work when I begin then to stuff around with it, when I begin to make the things move, when I begin to make it uneasy. The familiarity gives you something to grasp, gives you a point from which to then begin to feel uneasy, I guess.
If we just take the poltergeist metaphor a bit further, often if people believe in supernatural things, they will see that a spirit that inhabits a place is unhappy, it's got some unfinished business, it's got something to say, and it's by ignoring it that it is having to make itself known. Is there something that you're trying to draw our attention to that we're ignoring?
Look, not specifically. I think it's hard not to begin to draw in some of those kinds of associations to a work like this. Perhaps I think about it more in terms of the potential life that furniture has when we close the door. That, you know, maybe when we walk out of the room, the furniture is having its own kinds of interactions.
I think many people would know you from the massive installation you did in the Elder Wing of the Art Gallery of South Australia back in 2012. Untitled Jump Up, which was over 800 pieces of faceted glassware suspended from the ceiling in amongst other landscapes in that area. How would you describe your approach to the work that you do?
Most of the materials that I work with are drawn from the domestic. I like working with found objects wherever possible. In fact, this current exhibition is probably one of the most embellished works, a work where I've introduced a lot of new materials. There's something about recycling materials that I really, really like. Sculpture unavoidably introduces new objects into the world, and at times that can feel a little bit excessive. So bringing things from the past into my work, I feel like I'm giving them a second life in a way. I mean, there's something really, really nice in that, as well as the inherent recycling that comes about in that process.
We can hear the hum of motors. Are you a bit of an engineer as well, or did someone else have to help you fix the motors to make this creation?
I spent my childhood pulling things apart and putting them back together in other kinds of ways. So I have a basic understanding of these things, enough to be able to communicate with experts who can then help me out, making the mechanics work. But as time goes on, I learn more about different systems to make things move. It's a process that I've brought into my practice a number of times in recent years, is using motors and cams and levers to animate things within the space. In a way, I see these works as theatre, and this work in particular is very much staged. It sits up on a platform within a black room. You could almost imagine that a performance might take place or is taking place within the space. I worked a lot in theatre back when I left school and studied interior architecture for some time. So I think all of those things are brought into this work, but there's no messy actors, there's no directors telling me what to do. It's something of my own invention.
Chairs don't answer back, do they?
Nothing can answer back within this room.
Nicholas, you've had a true Adelaide lifestyle. You grew up by both the beach and then in the hills. You've studied in South Australia and in Sydney, and you've achieved scholarships, including the Sam Stagg Scholarship. How important do you think it is for young artists that they're given that encouragement and that ability to take their art to a higher level?
Well, I think travel, and particularly travel out of South Australia, is really important for young artists. I think we have a really fabulous creative community here in South Australia, but to some extent, due to our population, we're limited in the kinds of exhibitions we can see here in South Australia and the type of art that we can experience. And I think that opportunity for me to live and study and work in Sydney in particular was incredibly beneficial towards opening up my eyes to the potential of what was out there and what was possible within my own practice.
You also spent some time in Barcelona. Did that change the way that you saw art, living completely immersed in a different culture?
It certainly did. In addition to Barcelona, I lived for 12 months in Rotterdam in the Netherlands, which is where I studied on my Sam Stagg Scholarship. And I think both of those experiences added tremendously to my understanding of art and art practices. Just that opportunity to travel from one country to another to see really incredible permanent collections as well as touring exhibitions. And, you know, they are really incredible opportunities to experience what's out there and what's contemporary, what's kind of happening now, as a way of understanding how my work fits into the kind of bigger system of the art industry.
When you were young, did you have a teacher that could see your creative spark, a teacher that encouraged you and perhaps gave you a push along the path to becoming an artist?
There's actually been a lot of people who've been really supportive of my practice since I was a very small child. For some time, we had a boarder living with us who was training to be a kindergarten teacher, and I was only 3 or 4, so she'd come home from study and test out all of the kind of creative activities on me, which I think was incredibly inspiring. But my mother too has always been a fabulous supporter of my creative practices. She came from a family of creative people and so sent me off to things like Ruth Tuck art classes here in South Australia when I was very young, and encouraged me to kind of be creative and pursue that creative career. And I feel very, very lucky in that, because I don't think a lot of people have that kind of support in risky careers like the visual arts.
Yeah. We are now a teacher yourself at the Adelaide Central School of Art, so what's your approach to teaching your students?
Teaching is a joy. You know, I could think of no other career that I could enjoy more outside of my own personal practice than talking to people who are interested in art all day about art. And as much as I try to encourage and inspire them, it's an incredibly encouraging and inspiring thing for myself. But I guess one of the things that I try to install in students is that while we can teach them really fabulous skills in painting and sculpting and drawing and these kinds of things, it's ultimately what they bring to their practice that will set them apart from other artists, you know, and being confident in themselves and in their own lives and the things that they really enjoy, and finding ways to bring that to their practice and use that as a motivation for creating work rather than kind of looking outside of themselves.
I think the viewer intuitively knows if an artist is being authentic to themselves when they view a work or hear a work or experience a work.
I think that's very, very true. And, you know, for that reason, we really do have to pursue our own desires.